it's a program which the Office of Personnel Management created when they recognized that this was something that was already happening within the federal government, and it was something that they wanted to explore and to amplify. So they noticed that there were a number of projects, EPA Skills Marketplace, Open Opportunities, and HUD Innovation Time being the leading projects that were creating opportunities for people to work in a different way that was collaborative across teams and across agencies, and they wanted to amplify that and encourage more agencies to work in this very effective way.
They're spotting a trend and they want to make it something that is government-wide. How does 18F fit into this?
18F has been working on a particular software product, which is an open-source product called, which was originally named the Midas Platform, and partnered with Open Opportunities last year to provide the software platform for that specific project. When GovConnect decided to create a project to evaluate their first phase, like at the end of the first phase, what had they learned, what were the next steps, and 18F has a lot of experienced researchers and does a lot of human-centered design, they decided to partner with us because we could provide those skills and augment their team. And at the same time, we are going to use all of those findings to inform the next generation of the platform. So it was a really logical partnership, and we're very excited to work with them on this.
And it also seems like you're taking 18F's strengths in terms of what you do with technology, but you're also applying that to programs and people here.
In my experience as a UX designer and UX researcher, a good chunk of my projects in the past, you know, I come from the private sector, has always been a mix of that, which is, you know, technology is a part of the problem, but oftentimes the bigger problem and the harder one to solve is the people problem or the organization problem, you know, trying to figure out how can you get a new platform or a new service or this new idea to be adopted by the people that either at some point want to use it or just need to use it to just to kind of make themselves more successful.
Sarah, you mentioned the Midas platform and the GSA Open Opportunities project, which is one of the projects that OPM looked at. Can you use that as an example of how you've approached this in terms of the people component?
I think that we come from the fundamental perspective that building software is affecting change for people. And it may sound really basic to say, but especially when you're working at a government scale, the changes we make in technology have the potential to make a tremendous impact in society or amongst the very, very large audiences we serve. So we take the approach of when we're designing software, that we're designing social patterns for people. So in looking at Midas and working with Lisa Nelson at Open Opportunities, we are really looking at how do we shift how people think about collaboration. And in many ways, we're finding patterns that exist independent of technology. And we are providing ways for to make it easier for people to collaborate in ways that they're already doing when they're co-located physically, but they're very hard to do when they're remote geographically or when they're in different logical parts of the organization, even if they're in the same location.
All right, so help me visualize this. How does Midas or how does what you're working on for GovConnect help people do that?
There are challenges in government where people are people usually who are close to the problem that they're solving, right? We have individuals in government, almost 3 million people in our civilian workforce, where each person is tasked with doing a specific thing, often in service of our citizens. And those individuals will run into a challenge that they're trying to solve. And sometimes they don't have the skills or the bandwidth or the perspective to fully meet that challenge, and they would like to collaborate with somebody with different skills or with a new perspective. And it can be very hard for them to do that collaboration. So the idea is that people could post ideas that are very specific, actionable projects, and other people who are in different parts of the organizations, with their manager's approval, could collaborate on these. And with open opportunities, that happens across agencies, with the other projects that happens within an agency. But some of these agencies are huge. You know, we'll have agencies that have 80,000 or 200,000 people. So doing things between different individual teams in that agency is it can be very challenging to find the people who are interested in doing the work and to find the people with the skills that you want to connect with. And what we're seeing, which is very exciting throughout many of these different projects, when you talk to people who are doing the work, they're seeing it as a real professional development activity. So they're learning from it, which really transforms how you think about this work. It's not just parceling out things to get done. This is really developing the relationship by the individuals who are involved in the project team, and it is empowering a set of people in a new way, not just for delivering that project, but in their government work moving forward.
And you mentioned that 18F is taking this human-centered design approach to this platform for GovConnect. You're doing a bit of analysis now. What are you learning about the government's ability to be nimble? And I should say, as we speak, Sarah, you're in Taiwan. Brad, you're in St. Louis. And so you're obviously two people very used to flexible work. But what are you seeing in the government at large in terms of the barriers to something like this?
I can speak to that a little bit just from what I've learned doing the research and talking to these people from different agencies. In many cases, they're almost kind of like a victim of history. Yeah, so the way that these agencies have been built and stuff like that, you know, the way that people work now worked really well, say, 40, 50, 60 years ago, because of the nature of the world then. Now it's very different. And, you know, I've observed the very same thing, in the enterprise world and the private sector. You know, major companies that have been around for 100, 110, 150 years, they struggle with the same problems. And what you end up having is these organizations that are fairly siloed, some for very good reasons because of just the nature of the work, others for just that's the way that's always been done. And it's always kind of hard to change the way things have always been done when on the surface it doesn't look like anything's broken. And so that's the struggle when it comes to being nimble and agile is showing that it can be done with a fairly low barrier of entry. The real struggles kind of come into play from any special security, considerations that need to take place. And then also just from a culture standpoint of changing the minds of people that have been doing it this way for a really long time and saying, you're still going to get the same work done. In fact, you might even get more work done. You're just going to do it slightly differently. So kind of taking the problems that you have today and just trying to find solutions for them as opposed to just kind of, forcing same process on the same problems that have existed for decades.
So we've talked about why you're doing this and your approach to it. Just tell me, what exactly are you at 18F doing now?
Sure. So we're at the tail end of this kind of research phase of GovConnect. We spent a good 2 weeks, jumping around to different agencies, around D.C., talking and learning from people. We just did a really highly collaborative workshop from people from 12, 13 different agencies, kind of locked in a room for half of a day, just putting things on post-it notes and papers, kind of getting their ideas out there so we can talk about them. And now we're in this process of just analysis and bringing it all together to create a starter kit guide so that other groups within agencies that want to do similar agile workforce kind of programs have a better starting off point. They have the materials they need to start engaging with a variety of different stakeholders. They have different marketing techniques that other programs have done that have seen success. And all these other ideas that just allows them to get started working faster so they don't have to reinvent the wheel a little bit. And that's been the exciting part is everything that's going into this starter kit guide is a result as a direct result of the interviews that we did, you know, around DC, as well as the collaborative workshops that we did. So we just are collecting all these different ideas from these people, who the people that are in the trenches trying to figure out how to do it themselves, and packaging them together, which is going to be really awesome whenever they see the guide, because they're the ones that are going to see, like, look, this was my idea, or I contributed to this, which could hopefully then, you know, fuel a lot of adoption, as well as just good messaging as to why people should use the Starter Kit guide.
What agencies were involved in the collaborative workshop?
I'm going to go acronyms because it's the easiest way. I apologize. So we had OPM, we had HHS, we had the Census Bureau, we had the Department of Commerce, we had HUD, as well as GSA, Social Security Administration, EPA, the Nuclear Research Commission, FDA. Sarah, am I blanking on any of them?
I think that's a good list. We might have missed one or two, but
yes.
It was really exciting to see so many individuals from different agencies, many of whom had independently come up with this way of cross-team and cross-agency work, really sharing their experience with their government colleagues at other agencies. And it's really exciting to see these as outsiders. We might think of as fairly staid government agencies, you know, the Office of Personnel Management, which is pulled together this project to really connect people who are doing great work and help them share with other people who are interested in doing similar work.
And Brad and Sarah, I'm just curious to know your personal thoughts. What struck you about what some of these agencies are doing that you think should be or could be in the Starter Kit?
Some of the big things that came out of it was, A, you know, how do you deal with the variety of stakeholders? You got stakeholders at all these different levels, you know, within an agency organization, and you either need awareness or support from them to kind of get started. And you don't need necessarily a lot, but you definitely need a diverse set so that, you know, if you need someone at the, you know, the senior level, you have someone that you can pick up the phone and call, kind of thing. The other thing that became pretty clear is technology. You know, while this isn't necessarily a technology, you know, project, and we kind of started from with a technology agnostic view, like, we don't want to say this is the solution that's going to solve all the problems, because that ends up actually sometimes causing more problems, is looking at what other people are trying to do. But technology was a barrier for a lot of these teams that are trying to get these programs started. They're using, you know, systems that are kind of already in place, and they're kind of hacking them to work, and it's working well. But then they start having some questions about scalability. How do they take it out of this pilot program and turn in something that can be supported and maintained by the entire agency? Because that's the other thing. These teams that are starting these programs or starting these pilots, they're not technologists. They're not designers. They're not developers. They're just a group of people that work at an agency that say this needs to happen, and they pick it up in their own time. So it's not like it's a devoted team that, you know, they're turning these programs, you know, out. And so eventually there needs to be, you know, ways of you know, growing that team, finding dedicated resources for it, finding good technology that supports it, and those would be the things that would be included in the Starter Kit. And then finally, ways to market. There's a lot of different, like, phases of marketing that needs to occur. You know, whenever you're doing planning and designing of the program, how do you market for support? You know, whenever you're getting the pilot out, how do you market to just general employees to participate in the pilot, and how do you market to supervisors to get their approval so that people can apply? And then if it's a full-blown project program that's been rolled out and, you know, adopted by the agency, what's the ongoing communication plan? What's the ongoing communication strategy so that no one forgets about this and it doesn't just kind of, you know, slowly die just because the awareness of it falls? You know, so it's a constant kind of feeding the animal a little bit of making sure that people know what's going on, how they can get involved, and how their participation matters.
Did the agencies that have tried something like this, did they meet resistance within their own workforce?
Yes and no, only because it's something new. And you always find resistance when something's new, and especially if it's something that's unproven. You know, one thing, like one of the agencies that we talked with, they talked about how there was a group of, you know, supervisors that weren't necessarily on board. But then when they saw you know, other teams under other supervisors not only doing it, but still getting their work done, but then also improving, you know, what it meant to be an employee, so improving that employee experience, all of a sudden those supervisors were starting to get engaged. And so you're going to, that's just a natural course of something like this. Is it's new, it's unproven in some cases, and there's going to be those early adopters, just as there is like in the technology world. When a new product comes out, like, you know, the Apple Watch, you know, I was one of the ones that bought the very first one because I'm an early adopter person. My mom, though, she's going to wait probably 2 or 3 years before she buys one because she's going to want to make sure that, A, it's valuable, A, it creates meaning, and it's useful. And those are the same type of people that you'd see in an organization.
This seems like something that can be very nice for an employee who gets to work on a side project, gets to try something different, professional development and all that. What's the benefit to the organizations? Are they actually seeing real change?
There's two ways that the organization sees real change. One is the more gets done, that you'll see people who are devoting the same amount of time to a project, but because it's one they're really passionate about and they have an opportunity to work with people who they wouldn't normally work with, that accelerates their new ideas and what they do. So they get fired up about things that otherwise they would be doing more in isolation. And so they're just seeing the work product increase in a really positive way. The other thing, which is counterintuitive to some supervisors, but makes a lot of sense to some of the more experienced managers we work with, is that they find that their group is more empowered. One of the ways that things happen in government, which frankly is true everywhere, is because of connections to other groups and other teams. And when there are more people in your group that are well connected to other agencies or to other teams within your agency, then your group is more empowered. Then when you have another project that needs to interact with another team at your agency, suddenly you have all of these people who have those connections and they're used to working in that way, and your team is more empowered. In government, especially, developing your network is professional development, not just for you, but for your whole team.
Sarah, as you speak, I'm struck by the fact that you guys are both sort of living testament to this type of flexible work, because that's what 18F was set up to do, right? To pull people in from that had other experience outside the government for short bits of time, have them work on various projects in an agile fashion. I'm just wondering, as you hear these other agencies talk about their struggles and challenges and desires, what about it strikes you from the 18F perspective?
It's really exciting to see patterns that sometimes we think only happen within 18F or are very rare in the government are actually much more common than I would have thought. And we do a lot of things internally where we have a lot of technologists, whether they're coming from a design perspective like Brad or coming more from an engineering background like me, where we use technology and technology tools really quickly and easily. And we have at our disposal a lot of different platforms because we're building self-technology, right? So there are a lot of things that we have available to us that not every team in the government has. And so it's interesting to reflect on how people, this work is so important to people that they are making do with whatever tools they have to make it happen. But if we get the right tools in their hands, then they can be incredibly empowered. And I'd love to see a day where it's the experience that a person working for 18F has in terms of the tools available to us and the working flexibility that we have is available to every worker in the American government.
What do you think that other employees would be most jealous of in terms of those tools and the flexibilities?
Some of the struggles that we've heard from the teams already, which are collaboration tools, you know, cloud-based tools that allow for easy document sharing or conversation, you know, to happen, you know, in a kind of asynchronous manner, as opposed to like over the phone or instant message. You know, without those, you know, there's no way that, you know, me being in St. Louis and now Sarah right now in Taiwan, there's no way we'd be able to operate. And there are sometimes good reasons why those aren't in place. But I've also been involved with a lot of different, you know, enterprise securities where they still find ways to make them work. And that sense of collaboration, I think, is the one where if a solution could be made there and that wall could be knocked down just a little bit, a lot of things could change, you know, pretty quickly.